Hello and welcome to the Unbalanced Note on the Multimedia Men Podcast Network on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. We are so happy to be here again this week. It is November. It is amazing. We had a good time on Halloween. I am Brian Kluger with Boomstick Comics and High Def Digest, and I am always joined by the amazing burrito brother himself, Jacob Douglas.
That's the best one yet. The previous ones you've called me fathead and ugly.
Fathead, so yeah, ugly. You did.
If you go back and listen to the intros of the last two, you called me ugly and fathead.
Really?
Yeah, it was rude. But burrito brother more than makes up.
The flying so burrito brother. He's the walking burrito brother.
A burrito is a Mexican sandwich.
Yes, it is. The ultimate Mexican sandwich.
Yeah, it really is. And you could smoke it.
Well, yes, you can. Would a quesadilla be a Mexican sandwich? Because it's more like a sandwich.
There's less in it, though.
That's true.
There is like, that's why the burrito is like the, you know, there's
like the Jewish deli of Mexican sandwiches.
Well, I wouldn't go. You can say that.
I can say that?
Yeah.
Well, okay then. You just had a funny thing because it's almost the end of the year and you said you had a New Year's resolution. What is your New Year's resolution?
I just got to not shit talk so much about things that don't really bother me or things that do bother me. I don't know. Why are you asking me that?
Well, why do you want to stop doing that?
I don't gain anything out of it. It's funny, but I mean, I don't know.
So you're just going to be positive Jacob from now on?
Yeah, I'm going to just try to be slightly nicer.
Well, you're like one of the nicer people I know. How could you get any nicer?
Well, I just have these like tangents of like, We would need like Shauna here to, she'll go, yeah, I know exactly what he's talking about. Like, me hating on like Kelly Clarkson, it's like, that's not bothering me. You know what I mean? Or just going like Post Malone. So I'll never actually stop making fun of Post Malone.
That's correct. But
Taylor Swift fans, right? Like, yeah. Why do I just randomly every now and then will go like, oh, fuck those idiots. Or something like that, you know? Maybe like a sign of Tourette's, possibly.
I feel like you're slowly progressing into like a born-again Christian.
Old man, absolutely not. Well, before we started this, I was telling you, I don't like songs with Jesus in them, just weird me out.
Okay.
Like, the Birds do a really good version of Jesus is Just All Right for me, but I'm still waiting for you to tell me some good Jesus songs.
Well, like we said, Norman Greenbaum's Spirit in the Sky.
Yeah, but
that's not about Jesus. Well, I guess.
Does it mention Jesus? Oh, gotta give it up to Jesus.
Yeah, yeah. I gotta have a friend in Jesus.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
I knew it was something like that. That's right.
So, but our one hit wonder kind of has Jesus in the song.
The guy thinks he's Jesus, I think.
I think so.
Yeah.
I'm really trying to go down the list of not like hymns or like Christian music per se, but like mainstream rock and roll, rap, hip hop.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm telling you, I don't think you can name a
Well,
good
Kanye
one.
Called himself Jesus, basically.
Yeezus. Yeah.
Jesus?
Well, if he's Jesus, we're in trouble.
He thinks he is,
that's
too.
Well, that's fine, though. Like, that's like people that, like, want to identify as, like, a tree stump.
Okay.
Like, if you ain't harming anyone, like, no one's, it's not like Kanye is going around putting guns to people's heads going, listen to my fucking music. Like, you can type in anything in the search bar you want to listen to.
True.
You know, that's all his fans don't go out and purchase, you know, physical media and shit.
Right.
So they could type in anything, you know, type in goddamn Post Malone. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you don't like
that, by the way,
if you don't like this idiot, you got another idiot to listen to.
By the way, we're going to get into some news. We have a great.
I'm glad it's not the new year because that was a shit talking tangent.
Yeah, no, we're going to talk a lot of shit today because there's a lot of fun stuff to talk about.
Get it
our main event today, last week, we did Ghost for Halloween. This, for the first week in November, we're going to do one of my favorite bands, part of the Jewish tribe as well. I think hip-hop, punk rock, rock and roll, and jam band.
Jam band?
They absolutely jam.
Oh, jeez.
Like, Beastie Boys.
No, there's no jamming about them, dude.
What are you talking about?
Jam band? What are you talking about?
I've heard them and seen them, and when they all play instrumental and instrument stuff, it definitely sounds like more like more of a hardcore jam band.
Yeah,
not like Phish per se. Because they have albums that they just do instrumental stuff on.
Yeah.
So.
And then they joke over the music. That's what's so awesome about them, man. They're not like, They're talking about it's like they're three teenage white dudes.
Yeah, no,
they're talking about date raping chicks, right?
Correct. They just want to fight for your right, but we'll get to that.
Brass Monkey, dude. What's that song about?
Oh, drinking. So let's start off with a little bit of news. It is voting day today.
Erection day.
It is erection day. It's the reckoning, baby.
Dude, it could be the fucking apocalypse, right?
Yeah. So it is voting day. If you're voting, if you're not voting, it's voting day. It's a big election, midterms. But in that bit of news with music, if you are in Houston, Atlanta, Miami, or right here in Dallas with us, Frank Ocean, the music artist, is giving away free merch to all voters. And yeah, that's absolutely. He has announced pop-up shops in those select cities we just mentioned, Atlanta, Miami, Dallas, Houston, where if you show that you voted, you will get some merch from Frank Ocean. If you like Frank Ocean, I don't know. What do you think?
Man, I think that's a great idea. I just think it's unfortunate that it takes like voting to get people to just do good things, right? Like if that Frank Ocean dude was just giving out free shirts once a month or something, if everybody kind of did that of his, cause he's, that dude's very successful, you know?
No, for sure.
But I don't know. People put too much goddamn fucking faith in the government, man. Like, people just got to be better.
But, I agree.
You know, it's just weird that they kind of, like, voting is like the catalyst for this person to do a good deed. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, instead
right.
of just doing it, like, on January 5th, right? Some random fucking date. Hey, this guy's doing something nice.
Yeah, and it looks like some of the merch are actually t-shirts. Yeah. So, and I always wondered, like,
should be giving those to homeless people.
You know, voting places, what about if you go into a concert and they have the election there, or like even at a Taco Bell, you know, you go do something, you just do a quick vote and you get a free taco.
Oh, it's going to get to that, dude. I mean, you'll be able to just vote from your phone.
No, it'll be super cool. I kind of like that. But yeah,
I love the people that get excited about voting and they're also screaming and yelling about global warming. Get to the polls though. Global warming can wait,
but you can get on one of those little scooters.
Oh yeah.
All right. Moving on.
What a crock of shit.
The Aretha Franklin documentary that has been shelved for a whopping 46 years is finally getting released. It is called Amazing Grace. And, I'm into this. What do you think?
That's a song that's kind of like about Jesus.
Amazing Grace, but it's not like a hard rock song.
She did a lot of gospel, you know.
No, of course
she started in gospel. Dude, hell yeah. I can't believe it's taken 46 years for them to make a fucking movie about her.
Well, no, it hasn't. It's a documentary.
Oh, documentary.
And it's called Amazing Grace, and it captures Aretha Franklin's 1972 performances at the New Temple Missionary Baptist Church in Los Angeles. So, and it's going to go along as a companion piece to her gospel album of the same name, which went unreleased due to technical difficulties.
Dude, how cool would it have been if, like, the Allman Brothers were, like, the backing band for Aretha Franklin?
Holy shit, that'd
like,
be
if
awesome.
They would have just linked up and did an album or something, man. Aretha was the shit, man. And you know who else was killer? I hope there's a Tina Turner documentary.
A Tina Turner documentary?
Yeah.
Well, she's still alive.
You don't have to be dead to have.
No, I agree with that. I totally agree with that. But who would play Tina and who would play Ike?
I don't know,
man. Because that's like one movie in itself, yeah. Ike and Tina.
Well, Shauna said the other day there's like a biopic about
them. Oh, it's called What's Love Got to Do With It. And I think, who played her? Angela Bassett, I think.
Yeah, that's who it is. Tina Turner. Angela Bassett. Yeah.
So that was in like early 90s, I think, that came out.
Dude, that was a duo right there, man. That was like Sonny and Cher with nuts. Right?
Sonny and Cher.
It wasn't like
with
no
nuts.
Fucking Weasley, like.
That was great. No.
Partridge Family sounded shit.
They
this
worked
was like,
hard, played hard, and beat hard.
And fucked hard, yeah. Too, man. Jesus. Tina Turner had like the best legs.
Yeah, oh, absolutely, she did. She was known for coming out on stage with like the real short skirt to show her legs.
Man,
off.
She just had, I think those were normal size skirts. Her legs were just.
Long
golly,
shit.
Man, she is incredible.
We need to do an Ike and Tina show.
I think I like Tina more than I like Aretha Franklin.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
She was more punk rock.
She's more
rock.
She's
yeah.
more rock and roll for sure.
Yeah. No, I'm in. Moving on. news that Jacob will really like. The Spice Girls have announced 2019 reunion tour, unfortunately without Victoria Beckham.
Yeah, they can't afford her.
Which is so weird.
No, hey, dude. No, you got to have all five of them, right? If it ain't the five, what are their names, right? There's Sporty Spice.
Jerry, Mel B, Mel C, and Emma Button.
No, they're fucking names. Like, oh. Gino Ginger, because that's by default. I'll know that.
There's
one.
Baby Spice, Scary Spice, Sporty Spice, and fuck, I don't know.
I got the other two. We named all of them.
It's fucking Bedlam over there.
Man, that's crazy. Like, that there's a demand for that.
Well,
you know, like, wait a minute. We're in, fuck, that's in 2019. That would be next year?
That's not, yeah, in a couple months.
People still want to see that.
Well, they don't have any new albums or anything.
That's what I'm saying. There's obviously...
I mean, is their show going to be like 45 minutes long? Do they have one or two albums or more than that? I don't know.
Why are you looking at me like I know the answer to this question, dude? I don't know anything about this group.
Yes, you do.
No, I know they're hot. They're hot.
There's a movie about them.
There's a movie about them?
Called Spice World.
Like they act in the movie?
Yes. You don't remember this movie?
No, I didn't watch that.
I did watch it, but there's like tons of famous people in the movie.
And like who?
Fuck, let me look.
I bet they're all going to be douchey idiots.
Spice World, 1997, starred all the Spice Girls and also starred, let's see, Richard E. Grant, Roger Moore, Meatloaf, Richard O'Brien, Alan Cumming, George Wendt.
George Wendt.
Yes.
Wait a minute.
Peter Sissons, Kevin McNally.
Isn't George Wendt Norm from Cheers?
Yes.
Isn't that's him, isn't it?
Absolutely. Elvis Costello, Elton John, Bob Hoskins.
Why is
Hugh Laurie and Stephen Fry?
Damn, Hugh Laurie's in it. What's he doing? Picking up prostitutes?
It says he plays a guy named Poirot. I don't fucking know. But yes, it was directed by Bob Spears, who...
Jesus, the Spice World movie.
Yes. He directed That Darn Cat as well.
Boys, I guess there's egg on my face. Fucking the Spice Girls. God damn.
It's Spice World, man.
Minute,
that's
though.
The movie.
They're not Spice Girls anymore, though. Aren't they Spice Women? And their team, their wolf pack is down one member.
Is it?
You just said what's
oh,
her
yeah,
next
yeah, yeah.
going to be there.
Well, okay. No. It was just a little bit ago because I just renamed them. I said Scary Spice, Sporty Spice, Baby Spice, Ginger Spice,
we
and Posh
about their,
Spice. Yeah, the movie.
Victoria
but,
Beckham isn't with it.
But yes, now there are they're coming to another tour near you very soon, which is very unfortunate and really stupid.
No, I mean, maybe not, though. People get excited about that. That's the same as voting.
I guess so.
It is. Get excited. Have fun.
They have it. They get excited. They have fun. Yes.
Right? What did Hunter S. Thompson say? Buy the ticket, take the ride?
Yeah, you buy the ticket, you take the ride.
Yeah, same thing. It's all fucking state of mind, dude.
Yeah, there you go.
Right?
Am yeah, I wrong? No, you're not wrong.
Some people enjoy eating rice cakes more than they do like eating cupcakes.
Which is super weird, but I guess.
Not really. If they got some sort of fucking stomach, like digestive problem or something, right? They got to trick themselves into thinking
it's, yes.
This is my fucking dessert, you know?
I feel so bad for them. Hopefully I never have to experience that. If you're a Spice Girls fan, you're...
Why are we talking about this?
Yeah, I don't fucking know. Okay.
Yeah, can we look at pictures of them instead?
Yes. Right now, they're all like
right?
60.
It's kind of fun. Wait a minute, though. I'm surprised they're having a comeback, right?
I think the Black Spice Girl was married to Eddie Murphy for a while.
Yeah, I think everyone's
Scary Spice
married to Eddie Murphy.
Yes.
Yeah, but how are they going to call the black one scary?
Was she Scary Spice?
Yeah, she was. That okay. was. Yeah, I think so.
So you know about the band?
I only know that. Okay, look, I told you I know Ginger. They're not a band. First off, they're a group.
Okay,
just like the Beastie Boys.
I'm just trying to point out the fact that you
they didn't
like
play,
them.
Band
and you know who they are.
Band means they played instruments.
They
were a group. So like the Monkees held instruments, so they were still a group, but they look like a band.
The Monkees never played instruments?
They didn't. Not on their albums, they didn't.
Interesting.
Carole King fell on your team right there, too.
Yes, true.
She wrote a lot of Monkees songs and Leon Russell.
They were huge.
That's what we should be talking about. Instead, we're talking about the goddamn Spice Girls.
Leon Russell, we need to do a whole fucking two-parter for him.
Dude, I saw him like 10 times, I bet, before he died.
He's badass.
He was incredible.
Plays with everybody.
Song with Elton John.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Elton John, like, paid. He was in some medical emergency, Leon Russell was. He had to have some surgery, and Elton John paid for it. It was like a hundreds of thousands of dollars, surgery.
Yeah.
And Elton John just paid for it. Then they did an album together.
Right. No, there's a Criterion Collection put out his movie called, I think, Naked Poetry. And it's like shows like behind the scenes of him working with basically everybody.
Dude, he was so fucking cool.
Yeah.
Like, and he was someone who was.
He actually looked like an outlaw.
He's a person who looked exactly how he sounded.
Yeah.
Like you can look at Roseanne Barr and go, yep. Well, know what that's going to sound like.
Yeah.
Right?
Weird.
Yeah. And then they pranced her out and she fucking sang the national anthem, right?
I don't know what they thought.
Shock TV, dude.
Yeah, well, like.
Because she spit and then grabbed her crotch.
Yes, absolutely.
And flipped the camera off.
Yeah, excellent. But America, like, they should have known.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Maybe they were like, you know what? This could go either way. Like, you know, it's the car is going to crash no matter what.
Right.
Right. She could go out there and nail it. Let's say she went out there and crushed it and then still spit, grabbed her crotch and flipped the camera off. Right. She went out there and sounded like
that's fucking rock.
She sounded
star,
like
though,
Whitney
man.
Houston. Right. She sings it like Whitney Houston and then flips the crowd off, flashes everyone with them fucking flapjack hanging down, you know, tits, right? Just fucking dump them out, you know.
They probably still would have,
she would have got a standing ovation.
Yes. But maybe not. Well, maybe back then she would have.
Yeah, totally. Because that was like 93 or
something. Yeah, but not like in the 2000s because basically Janet Jackson did that same thing and people lost their fucking minds for 2 months.
Yeah, she's like a fucking, Janet Jackson sucks. You know what I mean? She does. Like, she's horrible. That's not good. That's not.
No, I didn't like that performance anymore.
The Nipplegate? Is that what you're talking about? Yes. When the fucking JT fucking.
Yes.
Dude, I'll tell you what. You can make fun of me for this. I am a Justin Timberlake fan.
Me too. So, me too.
Are you?
Yes. But only to a certain degree.
Yeah,
because
same,
I think
yeah,
he has
same
a ton of fucking talent. He can play instruments. He can songwrite. However, he wastes it. He is so lazy in his albums.
Yeah, he is lazy.
He could do like the next Sly and Family Stone or Off the Wall. But not to.
Man, he could totally. Well, I would love to hear him do a rock record.
No, he could do it. He doesn't do it. But if you've ever seen the Coen Brothers movie.
He's very talented.
What's it called? Coen Brothers, the Inside Llewyn Davis. He's doing those songs.
Yeah.
He's fucking
excellent at it. Dude, he is. Other than that time he wore all that denim.
The Canadian tuxedo,
yeah, dude,
eh?
He like Bret Michaels 20 years before, right?
Yes.
Like, Bret Michaels is still wearing that shit. You know what I mean? Big. He had a denim cowboy hat on.
Well, Bret Michaels kind of engineered a whole culture.
Fuck yeah, he did.
Yes, he did.
But yeah, man, dude, Justin Timberlake's pretty cool, man. I've seen him live like two or three times.
No, he can do well. He's just lazy with it. I wish I could sit him down. It's like, dude, you have everything in the world at your disposal. Stop making shitty albums. You could literally make the best album in the world.
Yeah, he could.
And you're not doing it.
He really could. He could make a like Sly and the Family Stone type like stand album.
Dude, it'd be fucking awesome.
It would too. Like, because he could get the right, you know, he has access to every fucking musician.
Right. It's like, I don't understand how he doesn't, like, just record
it. Because it's too much effort. That's the thing, like.
What a pussy.
Well, but think about it, though. He can do less and get paid more. If he did an album like that, his fan base would dwindle instantly. Because that music is too thought-provoking. Like, an idiot can't listen to Sly and the Family Stone.
Yeah, but he's made so much fucking money, he can do that.
That's what I'm saying, though. It's probably not. He's like, why would I put forth all that effort to do that?
Because you're a fucking artist.
He might not be. That's what I'm saying.
He's too happy. We need to make him really sad.
But dude, he's fucking married to Jessica Biel.
Yes.
Like, I know what I would be doing all day.
Watching her movies.
Yeah.
Blade 3.
Yeah. In slow motion.
In slow motion,
man.
Yeah.
She's great. I love that Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie she's in.
I think that movie's terrible, but
no,
she looks good,
man.
It's not.
Yeah.
It's not good.
Okay, it's good because she's in it.
She's super hot in it, but that movie's not good. They did a terrible job remaking that.
Nah, that's the best movie ever, dude.
You're wrong.
I'm fucking with you.
You're wrong. Moving on.
The salt scene is good, though, when he chops off his leg and then puts that salt on there.
Yeah, well, that's like very painful to watch.
Yeah, but it's cool. Well, it's cool, though.
Michael Bay produced that movie.
Transformer?
Yes. Moving on, another bit of news. The Color Purple, the movie. There is a musical film adaptation in the works, which will bring back Quincy Jones, Oprah Winfrey, and Steven Spielberg to produce the musical film.
Better be careful with Quincy Jones. He's going to get up there and curse everyone out.
Yeah, dude, he's gone off the deep end. Fuck for sure. Yeah. Yeah.
What's he going to be up there doing, though?
Well, Quincy produced and composed the original soundtrack.
Yeah, he ain't going to be up there playing.
Yeah.
There's no way, dude. He's like fucking 90.
He's super old.
How old is he?
Quincy Jones?
90's a stretch.
Quincy is, because his daughter is the chick from Parks and Rec, and
he's got Rashida Jones. Dude, he's got a lot of kids.
Quincy is, come on, computer. Quincy is old as shit. 85. He was born in 1933.
Man. Yeah, you remember when he came out like not too long ago and was fucking railing on Paul McCartney?
Oh, he talked bad about Michael Jackson, Paul McCartney, the Beatles.
Kudos to him for speaking the truth on MJ, though.
No, he went off the deep end with so much shit. He was like, oh, this is an old guy who's lost his fucking marbles.
Yeah, dude.
He doesn't give a shit.
Nah, he didn't even know what he was saying.
No, yeah.
He fucking said the Beatles sucked and, like, Paul McCartney couldn't play bass.
Yep. And you're just like, oh, is he getting somebody mixed up?
Yeah, well, it's like this guy's mic should have been turned off 10 minutes ago.
Good stuff. All right. Moving on. Do you know who Action Bronson is?
Yeah, I don't like him.
Action Bronson. He has been a big promoter and label and associated with Vice. He is parting ways with Vice because he feels he's been underappreciated and underpaid by the label and TV network. Because his album's coming out on Vice, he does a couple shows on Vice. Fuck That's Delicious and the Untitled Action Bronson Show.
You like this guy, don't you?
So I like him in the way, like, I have his book, Fuck That's Delicious. I like watching a show, but I like it for the fact that, like, he's kind of like a joke. Like, in a way that, like, he's just funny to watch. He's like this gigantic 600-pound dude who's, like, actually a culinary genius. But him and his,
if you weigh 600 pounds, you better be good at food.
No, correct. Well, he was a chef before he was a rapper. And it's just fun to watch him and his, like weed obsessed friends go to these nice places and try foods, and it's just hilarious.
Dude, he's
to watch
the same.
Him.
I can't believe you like him, and you don't see like the parallel to like that's just a Post Malone.
He's
a cardinal sin when he came out. There's a couple of rappers like in the Beastie Boys. You know when we talk about them, but there's certain like unwritten rules in like hip hop where there's certain artists that you just don't go after. And he came out talking some shit about, I think, Ghostface Killer from Wu-Tang Clan.
Yeah, Ghostface Killer.
And Wu-Tang is like just the group that you don't fuck with. They're perfect. Yes. Like they're like outcasts. Correct. Like they're unfucking touchable. And he came out and said some shit about like Ghostface Killer. And I think, look it up. I don't know if it was Ghostface Killer now.
Well, what am I going to look up?
Just type in Action Bronson Wu-Tang Clan, I guess. But I'm pretty sure it was him. But he sounds exactly like Ghostface Killer. Like he just lifted his same cadence and all that shit. But I don't like this dude.
Confronted by Wu-Tang affiliates over Ghostface Killer.
Yeah, who it is. I thought I was correct with him.
And you know what? Like I like
second guessing myself.
Like
he was talking shit about who the fuck is going to say something negative
about Wu-Tang?
Yeah, about Wu-Tang Clan. Like you're just an idiot.
No, well, he's like, I like Action Bronson in a way. Like, yes, is Action Bronson getting tattoos everywhere, even on his face? Yes. Do I like his music? No, I do not own a single album or song of his, but I like watching his buffoonery on TV with his.
He's your Kardashian.
Friends. Yes, yes.
Huh.
Like, I love, but like, I watch it mainly for the food because the food is so delicious. And the restaurants they go to, I like. So I watch it for that. But like him as a person, he just seems like too much.
Yeah, it's pretty contrived to me. But
so yeah, but I don't own like a thing of his, because like if you listen to his albums, it's almost very much like Post Malone, but I guess more reggae rap.
Yeah, I don't know, man. That's all you.
What? What's all me?
Action Bronson, dude. I'll leave that one for you.
Okay, well, Action Bronson, yes. It looks like the company that put him on the map, he's parting ways with because he feels underappreciated and underpaid.
Vice.
So I don't know what Vice is.
Well, because he's at a disadvantage because he's a white dude that works for Vice, so he's about to go.
Well, it's like it's weird. I don't know if he's having a meltdown or what because I guess in a tweet – a series of tweets, he said, "You weirdo motherfuckers are lucky to have ever been in my presence. I'll take my talents elsewhere because you sure don't appreciate what I've done for you." And he confirmed the split.
Cool. See, there you go.
After saying that he's still with Vice due to contractual issues until I guess his next show or whatever, it's reached its time. "I need to be able to spread my wings musically. I have too many ideas for shows that work to be stagnated to doing one every fucking 2 years. That's not my thing." So interestingly enough, on his shows that you can watch, they do show like him playing shows around the world, and like they're all constantly look like they're sold out and all this shit. Well, when he came to Dallas, my two cousins went to the show. They said there might have been 30 people there at Palladium Ballroom. Yeah, nobody was there.
At the Palladium?
Yeah. Well, is it Gillies or whatever?
Whatever it's called. I'll call
it. Yeah, you say there was like 30 people there.
Dude, that place holds like 2,500 people.
Correct. And if you look at his show, like watch a show, Fuck That's Delicious, they'll show like concerts and it's like jam-packed.
Well, why are they going to show a bad day? You know what
I guess
mean?
So, yeah.
It's called reality TV, Brian. No one has bad days on television.
True, true.
Unless you're watching your daytime programs.
It's bullshit.
You're fucking, what is it called? What did old people call their shows?
The shows. My stories.
Yeah, that's it. My story.
My stories.
Yeah.
All right. Our last bit of news should excite you. Bjork's feature film debut called The Juniper Tree is to be re-released.
It's the worst news day ever. Fucking Spice Girls, Janet Jackson.
And Bjork.
Bjork, what were we talking about before? Action Bronson.
Yes.
Fucking kill me now.
Bjork.
Good Lord.
Now, if you've ever seen Dancer in the Dark, you know you're going to have a good day after you watch that movie. But I guess her directorial debut, what's it called? The Juniper Tree is going to be released. She made it when it was, she was 24 years old in 1990, but this chick is pretty crazy. Yeah. I don't know if I would ever want to be alone in a room with her because she just seems like she's ready to go insane at the drop of a hat.
Yeah. I like when she fucked up that paparazzi. At
yeah,
the airport
absolutely
that time.
Did.
Like, that's the only thing I think I like. That's her greatest hit.
Well, it's been restored to 4K and all that good stuff. So
how can it be restored to 4K if it came out in 1994?
Because they have processes and things that you can upconvert things to look way better, like in 4K.
That's not restoring it, though.
It's remastering it.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. They restored it. So, yes, it's going to be a North American release, and it'll be out digitally as well. So you can see Bjork again.
Oh, boy.
The Juniper Tree. All right. Before
what's that date again?
November 10th.
Oh, mark your calendars, people.
All right. Before we get into our one-hit wonder, I got to say from the company Verez Saraband, who does soundtracks, they're finally putting on one of my favorite movies soundtrack on CD. It is called A Big Night, or just Big Night, and it's that amazing film that stars Stanley Tucci about three guys who own an Italian restaurant who are getting ready to throw a gigantic Italian party. And it's about them getting ready for it. It's hilarious. It's great. And there's tons of great songs on it by Louis Prima, Keeley Smith. It's excellent. Finally out.
Let
one
me
of my
see
favorite
this
movies.
Thing.
What do you think?
I've never even heard of this.
Goddamn, it's a great movie. It's one of those movies that you want to kind of have a themed dinner to, but it's excellent. It's called Big Night. You've probably heard of it, or if not, you should definitely see it. Try to look it up on Netflix or something. But finally, the amazing album is out.
How much wine do they drink in this movie?
I think if we try to keep up with them, we might die.
Hell yeah.
But it's really good.
There's a lot of champagne up there, too.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, dude. Italians know how to party, man. One of my best friends, his wife, she's Sicilian.
Yeah.
And man, they know how to throw a fucking party. It's unbelievable. Like, so good. Those good time.
Yeah.
This movie looks fucking wild.
No, it's good shit. Big night. I hope it comes on vinyl at some point, but on CD it's good enough to have because, you know, if you like that old Italian music, you want you making some spaghetti and meatballs and shit, this is what you put on.
Dude, I want some spaghetti and meatballs.
I'll have to make some for you.
Some meat sauce.
Some meat sauce. The fuck? The meat sauce. What is that? That's Virgil from WWE. He always meat sauce because he loves going to, what's that? Olive Garden. You never... Virgil from
yeah, Denver. I know what you're talking about.
If you ever follow his social media, like from like years ago till present,
oh, he's dead, isn't he?
No, he's alive, but he's very much crazy.
Million Dollar Man is dead.
Is Million Dollar Man dead?
Ted DiBiase.
Yes,
dude.
So Virgil's crazy.
Puts you to sleep.
Correct. And then the other one for Vres Erban that's coming out. It's called A Private War, and that's a movie that's out also with Stanley Tucci. And Rosamund Pike, and that score is composed by Scott Salinas. So yeah, those are coming from Vres Erban. Go to Vres Erban and check them out. Big Night is your big bet to get because Louis Prima is badass. So
you got these sent to you for free because of the podcast?
Correct.
Wow. Man, how neat. I hope I get something soon.
Well, I don't think
I'll,
they have
I'll be
your,
the one that gets the bomb.
The bomb?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
To your
house. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm serious. They'd be like, man, this guy's lost his fucking mind.
Yeah, I've been meaning because they've sent quite a few of these my way, and we haven't talked about any of them, but we'll start talking about them. Yeah.
Free music?
Yeah.
That's the only good music, right?
Correct. Free music.
Unless it's Metallica.
Then they'll sue fuck
their,
you in...
They sued their fans.
They'll fuck you in your ear pussies. Correct? Or they'll come in your ear pussies.
Oh, geez.
Thank you, Tenacious D.
They had a new album come out.
I love Tenacious D so much. Do you ever hear that song, Spider-Man? Where they like just kind of have somebody dress up as Spider-Man on stage at a live show, and somebody, they like narrate what he's doing, and it's different every time?
Mm-mm.
It's great.
Yeah, they are very good.
They're awesome. Okay, moving on to our one-hit wonder.
Wow, fuck.
Yeah, you could already tell Jacob is already just upset about this. However,
upset.
This is a Texas band.
Excited.
Native state of Texas. They are from actually a lake near Fort Worth called Possum Kingdom Lake, which their song Possum Kingdom, of course I'm talking about the Toadies. One Hit Wonder, Possum Kingdom. So,
is that the name of the song? Are
yeah,
you sure?
It is the name of the song, Possum Kingdom. It was released August 30th, 1994. I was 12 years old, almost 13, getting ready for my bar mitzvah, finally becoming a man. Yeah, fuck, this song. I mean, most of you might remember this from growing up, and most of you might remember this from Guitar Hero 2 when it was a track on that set list.
On the easy, the begins. I think it's the first song.
No, I don't think it's the first song, but I think it's in the first set.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely a first setter.
So it's very interesting. Basically, I guess Todd Lewis, the guy in Possum Kingdom, said that Possum Kingdom was to be a continuation of the story told in the song I Burned. While he envisioned I Burn to be a story about cult members immolating themselves in order to ascend to a higher plane, Possum Kingdom was about one of the immolated people becoming just smoke, and he goes to Possum Kingdom Lake and tries to find somebody to join him. Fucking weird.
Not really.
What do you mean?
Oh, it's pretty bland.
It is a bland song. It is a weird song.
That's one of those songs where when it came out, like, all of my friends, like, I was, what year did it come out?
1994.
Okay, so I was 10. And I was into music, dude. My dad plays guitar, always music around the house, had a shit ton of records. And that was a song where when it came out, you know, you talk to your friends and stuff, and like, hey, what are you listening to? And that when I heard that song, I was like, man, I don't like this. And everyone thought, you know, I felt I was the only one who didn't like it. Everybody else thought it was incredible. And I was like, man, there's something about this song I don't get. And then as I've gotten older, I realized that what this song sounds like is a band that was never going to go any further than that. You could hear it in the song, like just the way it plays. Yeah. You're like, okay, they hit the wall.
How does it start
out? They've been coasting it. They've been coasting on this song ever since. You know what I mean?
Right.
Dun, 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 dun.
Do you think they would ever play this song as their first song in a concert? Do you think everybody would leave after that song?
Oh, yeah. That's what, yeah, exactly. That's the point. That's exactly the point that I was even just saying is that this song can never go past that. Like, they never progressed as a band.
Like, they've had more singles, but this was, like, their one hit. Like, this is the...
That's just a band I don't get, man. It was, like, the people that were into this band as I got older were, like, meathead fucking, like, fraternity type, oh. You know, pink shirt polo wearing idiots.
Well, yeah, wearing loafers and
shit.
Yeah, loafers with socks, like Birkenstocks.
Yeah, it's just ironic, dumb shit. Like, I wasn't into that. Like, I didn't like that kind of stuff.
I didn't either.
And I don't really much care for the Pixies, you know, which this band, the Toadies, is kind of like the B version of the Pixies.
I never got the idea of the Pixies.
Yeah, me neither. Like, to me, I just am like, there's nothing there for me. I don't get it.
Like, I think they make decent enough music, but it's nothing like, it's not like, oh yeah, I will listen to this again. No.
It's very dull sounding.
Correct.
And that's how this kind of song sounds to me. Like, even the guitar at the beginning, the tone of that guitar, I'm instantly just like, ugh. It's kind of like the bass tone in the band Tool. Right? It's yes. Like, that's the same bass tone that's in Korn songs.
Right.
That flappy string fucking...
Right.
Just dumpy sounding fucking dumb bass.
Most of the song alternates between a 7-4 and an 8-4 time signature, which all alternately may be noted as 15-4.
Yeah. Woo. I'm sure they were thinking about that.
There's a great... If you watch the video to this song, Possum Kingdom, there's a great comment that says it's the best song about murder.
Man, I went to fucking... I saw them one... I've actually seen them Toadies. A bunch, but... Because they're kind of... You know, if you're from Dallas...
If you're from Dallas, you're from Texas.
You know who they are.
They play a lot of, like, really small venues.
No, they play some decent-sized places.
Yes, but they've also played, like, frat houses before.
Well, yeah, but because they're a party. It's a party.
Correct.
But they used to... You know, they'll play, like, the fucking... They'll play Billy Bob's and stuff. They would pack out like the Palladium.
Right.
But I mean, but when they leave Texas though.
Yes.
Then they're playing in much smaller places.
Correct.
But I had a roommate for years, man, who fucking loved this. Them and like the old 97s. He loved them. And those are two bands where I'm out.
It's
like,
interesting. Yeah. It's really weird.
Not my thing.
So with Toadies, with this song, Possum Kingdom, what do you think? What do you think made this?
It's a fucking
number one song.
It's an epic sing along, get drunk song.
Okay.
Cause when it gets to that chorus, when he's screaming about the Lord.
Yeah.
Oh Jesus. Yeah. I can just imagine a sea of Chads, right? Just fucking urinating and barfing on each other.
Okay.
And singing that song. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, with their arms around each other, broing out, you know?
So on the Canadian Alternative 30 chart, its peak position was number 3. The U.S. Billboard Hot 100 Airplay, number 40. U.S. Billboard Mainstream Rock, 9. And U.S. Billboard Modern Rock, 4.
Yeah, I mean, that definitely sounds like 1994. I mean, that was a very flat year,
correct.
Right? Like, that's what makes the Foo Fighters, I think, so good. This song, like the Toadies, I don't really want to rail on them or anything, but there's...
Well, not after the first of the year.
Well, also true. But there's an element of, like, elementary that kind of is going on there, where when you listen to, like, a Foo Fighters song, that's like a more realized idea.
Yeah,
it's more... Not like a fucking... Hey, let's just get through it.
Yeah.
Because that song, to me, sounds like they just want to stop playing it.
They probably won't. Yeah.
Well, they can't now. That's what I'm saying. Because they never wrote...
They made $1 million.
There's no evolution. There's zero evolution in that band.
Correct.
It's like a fucking...
They stayed the same.
Yeah, it's like they set out to do that.
Yeah.
It's weird.
So it was on Guitar Hero 2. It was featured in an episode of Hindsight, and it was recently played on an episode of This Is Us.
What is that? I don't even know what that is.
What?
This Is Us.
It's a terrible show that's been on for two or three seasons. It sparks the emotional tones with everybody. Mandy Moore's in it.
Can we start talking about things on this podcast that we like?
Yes. This song was actually featured in an episode of Beavis and Butthead, which the animated duo completely fucking trashed it.
Yeah.
They talk about death and dying.
Well, that's, you remember what they used to do? That they would watch the music video.
Uh-huh.
It would be like, it was like Mystery Science Theater, but with Beavis and Butthead.
No, correct.
And then they would go, this video sucks.
This video.
Yeah.
I think and if they ever watched a rap video, they would be dancing.
Oh, well, man, they liked a few of them. Like, I remember there was any Gore music
any
video.
Any Gore or Iron Maiden, and I think AC/DC, they loved.
Yeah.
They would rock out everything else, I think.
You were in trouble.
Yeah.
And they got a hold of Tim. They did a Tripping Daisy one time.
Yes,
That one's pretty funny.
Which is super funny.
They're all funny, man. You got to be able to, I guess, just laugh at anything or laugh at nothing. Be a fuckhead.
It is...
Nothing's funny and I'm offended.
Okay, that was our one-hit wonder. We're going to get into Beastie Boys. But before that, I have to bring this up because it's so fucking funny. So, you know, Post Malone had his... He's from Dallas, and he had his Postie Fest, his festival here recently. Yeah. So the Washington Post wrote an article about it, and it is the most vicious article about him as a person and his music that I've ever read.
Really?
It is so goddamn good. The title of the article is called "Post Malone is the Perfect Pop Star for This American Moment." That's not a compliment.
That is correct, actually.
Yes.
Who wrote this?
The New York Times? Jeff Weiss from the Washington Post.
Oh, the Washington Post.
Wow,
a guy with a pulse. Here we go.
His music, one of the shallowest bastardizations of rap to date, and I don't say that lightly.
He's right, dude.
So good.
He's correct.
He looks like he got clubbed over the head by a cartoon peacock.
Well, I'm telling you, look, check it out. If that guy looked any other way, they would still suck. Like, no matter what he looked like, that music is dog shit. Like, I don't care who the fuck, who you are. If you think that's good, just leave everyone else alone. Like, just don't stick to yourself. Like, people are going to look back at their lives at some point and go, God, what a fucking mistake that was.
No, yeah. It's crazy. It's
unbelievable the level of fucking... Like, I was having this conversation with someone the other day, and, like, right around 1973 or, like, 1974, that's when music kind of... Something about it deteriorated, because the standard of music up to that point was, like, people respected their peers and stuff and were, like, pushing each other creatively.
Right.
Then, all of a sudden, it became a money thing.
Yeah, no, it did, yeah.
And then it was the exploitation of fucking, like, instead of trying to enlighten people all the time and make them think and stuff, now they were going, we'll just shut these bozos down, you know, and give them Muzak. And that's what that is, dude.
Yeah. Post Malone's music is dead-eyed and ignorant, astonishingly dull in its materialism, and abandoned a lot of creativity with absolutely no evidence of traffic in his cerebral cortex. And there's also a negative side. I mean, it goes on and on. If you go to the Washington Post, just type in Post Malone Washington Post, and you'll read the article, and it's all shit like that. It's so good. I hope he read it. Because
that guy doesn't read.
No, he doesn't.
Are you fucking kidding me? I hope Post Malone read it.
That guy doesn't read.
He doesn't fuck. There's no fucking way he can read.
But they also talk about his fans and like how idiotic and...
Yeah. Oh, dude, I'm telling you right now, there ain't no scientists in the fucking audience at a Post Malone show.
No, no, not at all.
These are like...
They said like bros and Troy Aikman jerseys and bongs and Bentley shirts.
I mean, whatever, dude. It's a bunch of Highland Park kids is what it is.
Absolutely, unfortunately.
Like...
Well, not unfortunately, but...
I don't know, man. There's a, like... I saw Wu-Tang Clan a couple of years ago when they came. They played like Fair Park or something.
Yeah.
At Smirnoff.
Yeah.
And that was a group of people, like the audience there.
Right.
You saw everybody, right?
Yes. You mean because it's so open.
You could only imagine what would have happened if, like, on this Post Malone Fest, if he actually booked, like, a legitimate hip-hop artist.
Right.
That brought, like, a real crowd. Those people would have got fucking annihilated.
Correct.
Even if they would have been outnumbered, like, 2-1. They would have just lit those people up, man. Because those are the people that are into that are good. I mean, what are you doing, man?
Yeah.
Like,
no,
what
exactly.
The fuck are you doing?
Well, they said, like, in this article, it said, like, you know, if you have, like, a fest, there's usually, like, you know, art installations. It's about, like, a movement or, you know, about the art itself. He's like, nope, none of that was there. But no. There were $5 Jell-O shots.
Oh, yeah, man.
That was it.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's. I had to read that to you because I think you would love reading that story because it's just how horrible he is.
They just got a new subscriber.
There you go, Washington Post. All right.
Or just that writer, I guess.
Yes. All right. Beastie Boy time. Fuck yes. This American hip-hop group was formed in New York City in 1981, the year of my birth, and comprised of Mike D, Michael Diamond, Adam Yauch, and Adam Horovitz, three Jewish guys from New York. And they basically formed a hardcore punk band that had hip-hop and instrumental influences
all over. They were punk band when they started.
Yeah, I guess the Beastie Boys were formed as a four-piece hardcore punk band called the Young Aborigines. And then they went on to... do some experimental hip hop, which in 1983 their single was called Cookie Puss.
Yeah, dude. Man, that's my favorite thing about these guys is like the interjection of the humor.
Oh yeah.
Like I always feel youthful when I listen to only like the classic Beastie Boys albums, not like the
90s. Intergalactic.
Like, yeah.
Well, Intergalactic.
It's out there,
Intergalactic is funny because it's got like all the robots and
the sounds and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm just talking about the lyrical content of like, you know, on Paul's Boutique.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, I mean, it's like you get a George.
You put my dick in the mashed potatoes.
It's like you're getting like Richard Pryor, like, and the Ramones at like the same time.
And they're badass. They were in sync
with like some rock steady, like fucking
yeah,
some cool. I mean, dude, they were fucking grooving, man.
No, like, they were. So they did that, and they achieved very local success in 1983 with that hip hop Cookie Puss. And then in 1985, holy shit! Do you know who they toured with? Madonna.
No.
They toured with Madonna in 1985. And
probably the same manager.
A year later after that, License to Ill came out, which was followed by, of course, Paul Boutique, Check Your Head.
What's it called?
Paul's Boutique.
That's not what you said.
What'd I say?
You'll have to go back and listen.
Paul Boutiques?
Yep.
Paul's Boutique.
You fudged it up, bro.
I fudged it.
You fudged it up.
So Beastie Boys have sold 26 million records in the U.S. and 50 million records worldwide, making them the biggest selling rap group since Billboard began recording sales in 1991.
Yeah. So, well, I'm sure they'll be dethroned by Post Malone.
Unfortunate.
Fucking bitch. Fuck that guy, man. Whatever. Anyway.
So, yeah, actually, Mike Diamond of the Beastie Boys was in a band called the Walden Jazz Band. They have jazz and blues influences.
Dude,
and
they just like music, man.
No, they do. But, yeah, they were hardcore punk. And if you actually hear some of their earlier stuff, and even some of their stuff on License to Ill, you're like, oh, yeah, they really went all there.
They just took – they had a very – forward ear. Like they heard things that were gonna happen before they happened. Like they were killer samplers, man. Like they knew exactly where to put little nuancey pieces of music.
Yeah.
Like the song Girls, right? Like they made a beat out of a fucking Fisher Price like fucking xylophone thing.
Yeah.
Ding 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 ding. Like to hear to be able
ding 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 ding
to be able to hear those like poly those that rhythmic pattern.
Yeah,
I mean, like they were fucking ahead of their time, dude. Like.
Yeah, do you know what Beastie stands for? It's an acronym.
No.
Beastie for Beastie Boys stands for Boys Entering Anarchistic States Towards Inner Excellence. The band has supported Bad Brains, Dead Kennedys, The Misfits, and Reagan Youth. They're a huge, huge punk band. But, yeah, man, I just think they're...
licensed punk band?
Okay, yes. Well, punk band. Well, they're like, well, you punks. So yeah, so due to the sex of Cookie Puss, they began to incorporate rap into their sets. They decided to hire a DJ for their live shows and ended up getting an NYU student named Rick Rubin, who formed Def Jam Records with Russell Simmons. That was pretty good.
Good luck.
Good luck there. But let's talk about their first album, Ill Communication. Shall we?
Yeah, oh yeah, man.
Oh, well, actually, their first album was Licensed to Ill. But that it's actually has a... You know what the group originally wanted to title that album, Licensed to Ill? It says that they wanted to originally title it Don't Be a Faggot.
Oh, wait a minute. I think there's some sort of code thing on these numbers.
Okay.
That has something on the airplane. But I think I do remember that actually now.
Yes.
I think I remember them getting in some shit for one of these.
Yeah, they originally said don't be a faggot, but Columbia Records refused to release the album under this title, arguing that it was homophobic and pressured Russell Simmons, the Beastie Boys manager, to say no. Adam Horovitz has since apologized for the album's earlier title. But I mean, this was 1985.
Whatever, man. You shouldn't fucking have to apologize for that.
And I bet you Don't Be a Faggot wasn't meant for like the gay community, because the word faggot also means South Park did an episode of it, like it means like an idiot.
Yeah.
So
again, it's all who hears it.
And also on Licensed to Ill, their first album,
look up what the numbers on the airplane mean.
Okay, I will. Kerry King of Slayer made an appearance on that album playing the guitar, lead guitar for No Street Till Brooklyn. Also, the name of the song itself is a spoof of Motorhead's No Sleep Till Hammersmith album, which is pretty badass.
Fuck yeah, dude. That's a band we should talk about. Motorhead.
Artwork. The full album artwork, front to back, features the Beastie Boys' private jet crashing head-on into the side of a mountain, appearing as an extinguished joint. Yeah, that's I'm trying to look to see if it actually the cover design was appropriated by fellow rapper Eminem, which we've talked about here. And it's basically got all A pluses across everywhere. I mean, it had Girls, Fight for Your Right, No Street Till Brooklyn.
Is Paul Revere on that?
Paul
album?
Revere was on that, and Brass Monkey. This is what they basically got their start with. This album also sampled tracks from Led Zeppelin, Black Sabbath, The Clash, and Run DMC. So, which is kind of badass. What do you think?
Yeah, dude. It says, so these numbers say Eat Me.
Oh, it does say Eat Me. Yes, it does say Eat Me.
Dude, very clever band, man. Like, very creative and, like, actually said things. Even if what they were saying was funny.
Yeah.
And like nonsense, it kind of made your brain like turn on.
Correct.
Because the music was really, really fucking good.
That was 1986. And then 1989, they came out with Paul's Boutique, which is so good. It got A-plus ratings everywhere.
This is one of the best album covers ever.
It really is good.
Like, it's a fucking, that's how you do it.
And all of the, like, Johnny Ryle and Hey Ladies, all great shit.
Yeah, this is a fucking... This is a iconic. I mean, all their covers are great, actually. I haven't really looked at them all side by side in a while.
Yeah, Paul's Boutique, then you have Check Your Head in 1992, which you have Jimmy James, Pass the Mic, Gratitude. So what you want? And then you have Ill Communication. which just that has Sure Shot, which I played constantly on my college radio station consistently. I love that song. And then Sabotage, which became, I mean, it's in every Star Trek movie starting from like the late 2000s.
Dude, it's a fucking, that song is like, if you're going to one hit wonder, that's how you do it. That guitar riff never in that song changes, just.
And which one?
Sabotage.
Oh, it's like.
Yeah, but the guitar the whole time is just one fucking chord.
Yeah, it is. It's like, because you it stretches out and you just hear them screaming.
Yeah. They're going ape shit, dude.
Yeah, and so in their documentary, Awesome, I Fucking Shot That, which if you haven't seen, you should check that out. It was a really cool idea for a documentary, which at one of their shows at Madison Square Garden, they gave 200 random people video cameras to shoot the concert. And then some poor bastard had to edit it all together. So some were in the balconies, some were in the front row. And they were like, you can do whatever you want with the camera. And it's fucking great. So at that concert, when they played Sabotage, George W. Bush was the president at the time. They said, like, this goes out to our president, George W. Bush. This song's for you. And they started playing Sabotage. I was like, that's fucking great.
W got a shout out.
He did get a shout
out. Free publicity at the Beastie Boys show.
Yeah. No, I love that song, Sabotage. And a lot of their songs have been in tons of movies. But 1994, Ill Communication.
That would have been George H. Bush, actually.
No, it was George W.
You sure?
Yep. Like in the early 2000s? Yeah.
No. But this came out in 94.
No, I was saying at that concert. Oh, for that documentary.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yes.
So, yeah, Ill Communication. And then 1998.
I have a listening problem.
You do. And then they came out with Hello Nasty, which, you know, has Intergalactic on it. And
that music
Body
video,
Moving.
That music video was wild.
It was great. That was really, I think, their last album that I really whole liked, because like To the Five Boroughs and the Mix Up and Hot Sauce Committee.
Hot Sauce Committee Party is just, that's embarrassing.
Are not my favorites, but man, they only had eight studio albums since, you know, 86. Not a lot.
Yeah, well, they didn't need it, man, because they made fucking albums. Like,
no, they
could make a full record and every song on there is fucking fire.
Right.
Instead of like, I'm going to make a fucking Toadies record and I got one good song on it. That's right. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Come on, dude.
So.
Come on, man.
What do you think about Beastie Boys? What do you think? Like, what would you tell people to listen to first if they really don't listen to Beastie Boys?
Girls.
Girls?
To do
the dishes.
Yeah.
To clean up my room.
Because that song was on an album called Don't Be a Faggot, right? Yeah. I would have the band version. I'd go, here's what this group's all about.
But then they're not, though.
Exactly.
Maybe at the time.
Well, even the music, though.
Yeah.
Then when you go listen to anything else from them, you go, whoa, holy shit. That's weird.
That's weird.
They spent a lot of time on their fucking music, man. Like, on just the, what they were rapping over.
Right, right.
You know, they were very, very involved in the musical side of it.
What do you think Fight for Your Right to Party is about? Do you think it's just literally about kids wanting to party at that time, you know, in place?
This can't be a trick question.
I mean, like, is it like drugs, porn,
Mom
and
busted
rock and roll?
In,
yeah.
Said, what's that noise?
Yeah.
Right? Like, you're in your room beating off with the magazines and drinking beer, right?
Right.
Like in the music video, that's what they're doing. Your dad threw away your best porno mag. Oh, shit.
That hypocrite smokes two packs a day.
See, but they were smart because they, other than, you know, if they would have called this album Don't Be a Faggot, then they couldn't have, like, spoke to everybody. The best part of the Beastie Boys is that if you just listen to what they're saying,
yeah,
you kind of go, I get that.
Yeah.
I get that. Like, they're very easy to relate to because they're just goofy. They're fucking goofballs, man.
No, they are. And, like, one of the best music videos of all time is Sabotage, and that's when Spike Jonze made that incredible music video of them dressing up as 70s detectives running all over the place.
Well, they're fucking brilliant, dude. Like, that's a great group. They were actually thinking, like,
they thought about their music.
Yeah, I mean, there's no, like, other than when they got into, like, the later 90s and the early 2000s when the electronic thing started to happen, and they change their sound to just kind of stay current.
Yeah. But
all these, you know, those first four fucking Beastie Boys albums, nothing sounded like that.
No, absolutely not. And I still don't think a lot of people sound like them at all either.
Yeah.
Because most rap artists or hip hop artists don't even play instruments at all.
Yeah. Well, they would get like, you know, they'd have upright bass on a song. Like that would be their bass. It wouldn't be like a computer generated.
Correct. Fucking, yes.
You know, hit the space bar. It was like a dude in there thumping on it. And he wasn't being a virtuoso on it. He wasn't fucking. He's just hitting the same note in the correct spot. You know, they're making a groove. They're real fucking groovy to listen to.
They are. And it's unfortunate because I don't think they'll ever do anything again together because they've had two deaths. They've had their guitarist and founding member, John Barry, die of dementia and bad health. And then Adam Yauch. Ad Rock died as well of cancer. Very sad. Very unfortunate.
Yeah, man. But you got to think, though. Those guys, they lived a fucking good life, man.
They absolutely made it.
And there's not really anyone. You know how we were talking earlier about, like, the Action Bronson goofball that, like, went after. He talked some shit about Ghostface Killer.
Yes.
Beastie Boys is another one where you just go, man, you don't say anything negative about them.
No.
Because they're fucking great. It would just be foolish to do that.
Well, you don't need to because they are really that badass.
Yeah, but people would, though.
Yeah.
I guarantee you if you fucking went, next Postie Fest, you and I should go. We should get some coverage, like some press coverages, you know, right?
Yeah. Press what passes. Would we do?
We'd just talk to the people there. Just let them talk.
Yeah. So what about Post Malone?
I would ask them, hey, so what do you think about the Beastie Boys? And they would go, who?
It'd be interesting to see, like, do like a montage of like how many people do not know who the Beastie Boys are.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We would leave. Everyone, we'd ask 50 people and 48 would have them would say, 48 would go, who?
Who's that? Yeah, so the Beastie Boys, we love them. We're a fan.
Are they in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
They are. They were the third hip-hop group to be inducted into the Hall of Fame.
I don't really think they're like a hip-hop group, though.
Really?
I mean, to me, they're not. They just made music.
Originally, they were a hardcore punk band, and then
hip-hop
rock, rap rock is what
some people... Because rap rock is bad, though. Like... Saying rap rock is the same as saying like
Linkin Park
new metal.
Yes.
It's like it's just bad. It's got a bad taste to it.
But it's also like almost hip hop with electric guitars.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They're just a group, really.
Yeah, well, they're a band because they play instruments.
Well, yeah, but not on these.
Like you were saying.
Not on these albums, they didn't.
But yeah, they're not a one-hit wonder. They have tons of fucking movies. Movies. I meant hits. They had Crush Groove, Tougher Than Leather, Futurama episode, Awesome. I fucking shot that and Fight for Your Right.
You know, MCA had that production company called Oscilloscope.
Yes, Oscilloscope.
And they had some really fucking. He put out some really great movies. There was a documentary that came out about Scott Walker. That's incredible. Okay. There was one about Bigfoot that was really fucking good.
Oscilloscope's good stuff. They're still around, Oscilloscope.
I don't think they are, actually. I think a couple of years ago when he died, they wrapped it up.
The film company?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he founded that.
I could have sworn.
So there's a green, like, periscope looking thing?
Yeah. I'm looking that up.
I hope I'm wrong.
Oscilloscope Films Company. Adam Yauch. Let's see. Yeah, it's still around. 2018 releases.
Huh.
Yeah.
I need to go check them out then.
You do? Holy shit. Yeah, Oscilloscope. Yes, it's still here, man.
Yeah. Well, man. See, they were very, very, very talented.
Good stuff.
Good stuff.
It is good. But yes,
good
stuff. The Beastie Boys. That is our episode of The Unbalanced Note with Jacob and Brian on the Multimedia Men Podcast Network on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Jacob, you can find him on Instagram at scrumchalescence.
I don't ever get any more followers. So I don't think anyone cares.
Yeah. Well, then I won't mention it again.
No, mention it every time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, give me a shout out, bro.
Okay, I will. You can find him on ChristianMingle.com, too.
I wish I had a Christian. I should. That'd be a great way to get free money. What if I just used Christian Mingle to exploit it?
Hey, that'd be perfect.
I'll have to ask Shauna.
Ask it. Ask her. Ask it. Ask her.
Oh, buddy.
I'm going to get it.
Hey, you might want to do some of your Hollywood magic and edit that
edit
out.
Edit that out. But yeah, BC Boys, look them up. Do not look up Toadies or Possum Kingdom.
Oh, shit.
Unless you really want to. But also, Varez Sarah Band, go to their site, Big Night, get the soundtracks and all the other soundtracks. Varez Sarah Band actually recently, in the last few months, put out for the first time ever, the entire soundtrack score for The Goonies. So, very awesome, in Pirates Gold vinyl. So, we'll be back next time. Until then, fight for your right to party.